We're already having fun.
Yeah, what do we... We need some sort of... Here.
Clown horn. Oh, or that. Yeah, where's my lady? Woo!
Hey, like episode 808. Susan
feeling great.
Sarah. Feeling great.
I am. Yeah.
How you doing? What are you doing?
I am really good. I am getting excited because I have a trip to Costa Rica coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go visit my mom.
That's exciting.
And that's always fun because... She's like got, I mean, you live there for 14 years, however long she's been there. You have the insider hookup on all of like you make friends with the people who run the horseback riding tours and do the boat tours.
She's like a local. Everything.
She's a local. Mm-hmm. And so like the schedule is full and I'm going to get my horse girl fix. And
after
I cannot
your
wait.
Surgery, it does feel like, you know, post-surgery, Stella got a groove back scenario.
Suze, I'm telling you, for all of you ladies out there who have yet to experience, all of you humans out there who have yet to experience menopause, let me tell you what happens.
Here we go.
It's exactly like that woman said in that book where she said, you become the child that person you were before you hit puberty, where you were just like, remember how you said, I love Susie at 7, 8 years old. Like, she is so fun.
She was a
She's
hoot.
Coming back, baby.
I can't wait.
She's there. She just wait.
She's ready.
I mean, look, I made a picture of little Sarah as my background on my phone, and I've never felt more like
That's
her.
Adorable.
I heard that RuPaul was saying in an interview, he has a picture of him as a child is the background on his phone. And he said that he didn't get the right kind of love growing up. So he gives that child every time he opens his phone and sees that, he just loves on that little child and says, oh, look at you. Aren't you the best? Like, I'm here to take care of you. And so I'm doing that to her. And it's the best.
It is the best.
And I shared that with my therapist. And then she did that too. And she's like, that's the best idea ever.
Who's therapizing who? You know
right?
what I mean?
We're all, right. Mm-hmm. RuPaul helping me. I'm helping my therapist. Like, it's what we're doing, people.
That's so nice.
So, yeah. So that's like little Sarah, and she's just getting all love. So I feel so connected to that, like, version of me. And it is like a House de la Grada groove back because the you know, what I'm going, it feels like I'm connecting to the most authentic version of me.
I
like without
this.
Giving any fucks about
anything
that else.
That is what I crave so much. The postmenopausal don't give a fuck.
It's so great.
Vibe.
Because
those
now
ladies
it's
do not.
I think my hormones have like balanced out a little more now. So I really am like feeling good.
Have
today.
You
we'll see tomorrow.
Bought any footwear post?
Susie, did you know?
No. I'm just saying.
Do you know what's on my notes for the next episode?
What? Tell me.
I am going to I went to a podiatrist.
I would know what's on
your notes. I went to a podiatrist appointment yesterday because I have plantar fasciitis, and guess what he prescribed me?
No orthopedics
and stretching.
No,
Susie. Why do I ask for this? Yes, orthopedics. Exactly.
Plantar fasciitis from what?
From. Being an old person now, so I am not kidding. This is so funny you said that because I just sent a message to my brothers that said, because my brother said, well, you have plantar fasciitis. And I was like, fuck, no, it's not. Something else. I know it. And so I told him and I said, okay, so now I'm getting insoles made and orthotic shoes and I'm in menopause. Why don't I just go ahead and reserve my burial plot?
I can't believe it. You're getting orthotics.
Yes.
And what did you call them? Insoles?
Insoles. They're like, they took extra. They're going to be like little custom like insoles. And the doctor was like, yeah, you can't wear those Birkenstocks anymore. You can't wear those shoes. You need to wear like Hokas or New Balances.
Oh my God. No. Okay.
We've officially arrived. What's that store? SAS? What's that? Or like, that's. SAS, I don't even know if it's called SAB. SAS, I think it's called that. Or what's the other one? There's like a foot one.
Chico's?
No, the specifically shoes that's so, like Clark's or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Clark's. That rings a bell.
Yeah.
They seem like they have sensible footwear.
Oh, my God. Here we are.
Oh
Here we are,
God.
Ladies and gentlemen. And it's not like Well, actually, it's nice that the whole system is designed perfect because at the same age or place in your life where you stop giving any fucks is when you have to start wearing sensible
hideous
shoes.
Footwear. Well, remember how I asked our listeners, like, tell me, why do old ladies stop wearing heels? Is it just they don't give a fuck, or is it something physical? And
this
gal wrote, and I'm so thankful, because she said for her, she got word that, well, you know how you have like bone density issues as you age?
Yes.
Well, so then you get weak ankles and stuff. And
so that's like exactly what you expected.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, and then if you fall, you're fucking dead, basically. Like if you break a hip, that's the beginning of the end. And so why risk it? And also you don't give a fuck. So you're like, sure, I'll wear orthopedics. What do I care?
Who cares? I right.
And I say, good for you.
Right. So
be comfortable.
Oh, God. That makes me laugh so much.
I cannot believe it. You got like specialty insults.
I can't believe that you commented on. This is how I know.
Right. We're vibing. Like, mm-hmm.
You know, because literally the day, it hasn't even been 24 hours. And you're like, so how about that? How are your feet?
How are your feet feeling? Right. You're like the ghost of Christmas Future now because you have all the insight about this stuff. Thank you.
There you go. I always said you and I are like the before and after. We're like, I'm the before picture and you're the after. So here I am just paving the way. And
thank
you can be like, oh, I'm not going to do that. You could be my after.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, just do what I can, sacrificing to save you all.
Yeah, this is very insightful. And, you know, you don't have, like, any shame about it, so you just tell the truth.
Yeah, because, like, what the fuck? Who cares? What am I
going to
do?
You don't care.
What am I going to do? And you know what it is? I have to say this.
Yeah.
Here's why I feel like I don't have any shame about it or I can be like that. Because I think about how wonderful our brainiacs and the people who support us. And, like, I think about so many of them, you guys listening. And I'm just like, I have such great hype people out there.
Yeah.
What on earth do I have to be like?
Yeah, they're cheering you on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I got people like, I'm like giving out the love and you know, because I'm receiving so much.
It's beautiful.
It is. So that is why. The end. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. More of like a sermon than a TED Talk.
I loved it. And we're here and we're excited for you and your orthopedics. And I'm also super excited about Hatch Restore, a special, amazing, I'll call it a sleep device.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with my friend Ashley about this, about the importance of sleep. You know, we were talking about this.
Tell her she needs one because
has one. That's why we were talking about
it. Okay.
Because I yelled at her for not using my coupon code to get a discount. She played full price. I know.
That hurts.
Right. I was like.
Yes. Well, just. Okay. So here's the deal. Like whether you, if you're going to sleep, you can do like sleep stories or like, you know, sound like white noise or whatever helps you sleep better. But we like the wake up system the best because my husband and child have trouble like getting out of bed and
regulating their circadian rhythms.
Yes. And Lincoln decided this morning he wanted a new like sound because you can choose your sound or whatever. And we had this really soothing thing and he was like, no, I need something like that really like get me going. And so we picked this one. I forget her. I think her name is Jada. And Jada is like, hey girl, time to get up. Like,
oh, I like that. Motivational get up or person.
That's what Lincoln chose. He was like, that's very motivating. Let's do it. So Jada on Hatch is now saying to us, hey girl, time to get up.
Rise. I want Jada to say good morning to me.
Yeah, Jada is where it's at, but you can choose whatever. You can do like bells or chants or birds or whatever. And the device looks like a sunrise.
I've
and so
had
it,
birds.
That's nice. Yeah. See, that's normal.
It feels like you're waking up in nature. And I live in a like townhouse that's right in the middle of the city where there are no birds.
Yeah,
so
she needed nature.
I don't even have the natural sunlight waking me up like that. So I need that is necessary.
Yeah, and this thing helps you get to sleep, stay asleep, and then wake up in a natural way. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/braincandy. Visit hatch.co/braincandy to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/braincandy. I do love the darn thing. So cool. Okay. Let's see. What do I want to talk about first? I have a lot on my list here. I mean, this is just Sarah specific because I know how into it you are. Did you start watching the Jinx, new Jinx?
No.
Yes.
I don't even know about this. Max. I don't even know about what you're talking about. You know I love the Jinx.
Yes. And out of nowhere, they came out with a new season that's like, okay, so if you're not familiar, Robert Durst is this like super wealthy, real estate family heir.
Not to be confused with Fred Durst.
Who is not in Limp Bizkit.
Right.
And he basically people started dying around him. His wife disappeared, but it was like he was so rich that he could sort of avoid any accountability. And then it got too bad where there was too many deaths and weirdness.
Right.
And he got sloppy. So anyway, he went on and created this documentary series, Jinx, in which there was a hot mic situation, which is very relatable to Sarah and I.
Yeah.
Because we're like, every mic is hot.
Right. Stop talking. I just assume I'm always being recorded. Right. Or I'm like, where are the cameras at?
Because he went to the bathroom. This is a classic real world road rules problem.
I could feel the moment in my heart. That was television history. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Like we would wear these mics and you do forget that you're wearing a mic. You might not forget you're on camera, but you kind of do forget that there's a mic attached to you. So you go to the bathroom and you're making BM or whatever. And then you realize, OMG, some sound guy is listening to you. Drop a deuce.
This is what happens is they record him for a long period of time. And maybe in the beginning you are hyper aware.
Yes,
but it only takes about a week. Maybe two.
Yeah.
And then
you get lazy.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Go on.
Yeah. You start just forgetting and being yourself.
How would you ever forget? No, you will. Yes.
Yeah. And I was going to say shit happens. And then, literally. But he went to the bathroom and then basically talked to himself and admitted to murdering these people like a doofus. So then he, because of the docuseries, got arrested and convicted and put in jail. And this changed documentaries forever. In fact, whenever I pitch ideas to networks, they're always like, okay, but is anyone going to go in the bathroom and confess? Like, that's what everyone wants now.
Right. Is there an opportunity for a hot mic situation?
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, they brought it back. Okay. And now it's like showing all this stuff about like how they got him to do the Jinx and then like what happened after he got arrested. And it's great. It's great footage and insight into this nonsense. Cause I think there are some people who genuinely still don't think he did it. Any of them, but
yeah,
cause he does. When you're a sociopath, it's very convincing because it's almost as if they believe their own lies.
I was just going to say that, Susie. I was like, I think the person who doesn't believe it is him in a weird way, or doesn't believe that he's
evil,
needs to take any accountability for it. It doesn't even, there is no human I have ever seen whose eyes looked more evil.
Yeah.
Maybe Charles Manson, but it's more of Charles Manson's facial expressions. Charles Manson's facial expressions that conveyed that look of like evil and all that. It is the eyes alone for me with Robert Durst.
So whenever people sort of doubt that idea, I always talk about how we all accept that there's such a thing as someone lighting up a room when they walk in.
What a good argument.
We're all like, yes, I know that. Right?
The opposite is true.
And don't you ever have someone come near you and you just get like cold
instantly.
Yeah, like something is weird. Right. Vibe. wise.
There have only been a few people I've had that with, but you know exactly. And I also get that same way with people who I know are offenders.
That's such a good word. Yeah, no, like that's why that word is so good, because
we all know what I'm talking about. I could say, oh yeah, offender.
Offend. Right. Yeah.
And nobody's like, offending of what?
Yeah.
We all know.
You know.
You know.
So anyway, it's great. It's on Max, the Jinx season. I guess, I don't know if it's called season two or what, but it's the new stuff. And it's interesting because that guy is a real anomaly because of his wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so rich. And they showed this like deposition with his brother, and his brother had gotten a bodyguard to protect him from Robert. And then they asked Robert, like, what did you know your brother got a bodyguard to protect himself from you? And he was like laughing and all smug and being like, yeah, because he's a pussy. And
not like, why would he need?
Yeah. Then he's like, he was just smug and exactly how you imagine a psychopath would be.
The other one that does that same thing for me is that Tickled documentary.
Yes.
The rich guy from that. He's not like, you know, but I get those vibes. Like,
you're onto something though, because I think if you are someone who lacks conscience and you have all that wealth, so you actually start to get like brazen.
Yes. And remember we talked a long time ago on the podcast about how wealth and power is like a mental disorder, because it inhibits that part of your brain that is like the empathy and care for others.
Yeah, like corrodes your brain.
Yeah. For real. This is like brain scans. This is not Sarah's hot take.
Yeah.
Studies show, Sarah.
Yep.
Okay.
So watch that if you're into it. Okay, let's switch gears. Are you familiar with the children's show Bluey?
Yes. Oh.
What just happened?
It's so cute. I've seen it? Episode and clips. And
when?
That's all I needed. When all my friends from school were like, Sarah, you would love this show. I just watched it on the plane. I watched it on a plane, which is like the perfect place to watch that. If everybody's telling you you should watch it, there's like no other good movies. And I was like, what's all the fuss about? And I was like, okay, this is adorable.
Wow. And, well, you're more familiar than I am.
Adults and children. Like, they do a really good job of that. And they talk about things like domestic inequality, like inequality in domestic labor, and like how moms have a lot on their shoulder, like so much. They deal with things that are like really important.
Okay, well, great.
It's very cute.
You'll be so helpful then, because they put out a special, and this was, you know, everyone was very excited because this was going to be like a big, like 45-minute episode, which is quite long for a Bluey, and you know, families were gathering and popcorn was popped, and it was supposed to be about the Bluey. Why are they called that? Why is this show called that?
Kids, because that's the name. They're a family.
Their
of
family
dogs.
Name.
And
they're
then
the Blueys.
The son. The I don't know what their last name is, but I think the boy dog is named Bluey.
Okay, well they were going to move. They had to sell their house and move, and so they were going to grapple with this trauma and difficult emotional circumstance of moving. Well, parents are outraged because, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, at the end of the episode, they decide not to move.
Uh-huh.
And parents are like pissed because like that
this is going to be the episode that was going to explain to them how to manage things around moving. Yeah.
Okay. So like what happens, I guess, is the kids protest and they're like, no, we can't. We love this place. And throughout the episode, they push back and they deal with these emotions and they accept that they have to do something they don't want to. But then in the end, there's this big reversal and a twist. They don't have to move. They decide not to move. Okay. So I want to know, like, what do you think is, I don't know if you call it a responsibility or like the right thing for a children's show to do?
What a good question. And what a good thing to discuss.
These parents are real pissed.
Because I can see, I can make both sides of that argument.
Me too. That's why I was hoping you had a real strong opinion. Could,
because in a way, they're a cartoon that's there to entertain. Yeah. And if they also simultaneously educate and inform, what a bonus. That's great. That's what we should all strive for.
Uh-huh.
But should a show that's designed for entertainment be the thing that we rely on to teach valuable lessons that maybe parents don't have the language to do? I don't know. I think that might be unfair to put all of that on a TV show. In the same way, it was helpful that Mr. Rogers was always there to talk to all the kids about tragedies and hard stuff.
Yeah.
But he even recognized that that was like a burden that was immense and to bear, and that he often didn't have the answers, and that like there are so many complicated problems and so many things, and you can't possibly answer them all or address them all, you know.
And I think an important distinction as well, for me at least, is that Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers, they're on public television.
Yes. They're designed for educational purposes.
They're not profit.
Right.
Bluey is.
Correct. That's how I feel. That's why I put them in the category, Bluey and those shows, in the category of TV for entertainment purposes, and where I wouldn't have mentioned Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers,
Daniel Tiger.
And, you know, even some like Thomas the Tank Engine kind of leans a little.
Yeah, they were. That's on PBS. Educational. Yeah,
like that. That is like your job is to inform kids, and it's public radio. That's exactly like public broadcasting or whatever.
That's right. Yeah, but I think what just devil's advocate to say what the parents would say is that Bluey had established a reputation as a show that dealt with hard stuff and not avoiding these things and trying to teach kids. And so I think people felt let down because they were expecting one thing and then got something else. I would love to know from the show and the producers, what their logic was and how they came to that decision. Cause that we don't know.
I would want to know that too.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what I feel like. There's a plot there that the story's going to go somewhere else maybe, or
don't know the end.
We don't know the end of it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know the end of a lot of things.
Interesting topic.
But I know something I can rely on, and that is my Ritual vitamins. I take them every day.
Yep. Been using that. Hyacera. Yep.
So good for your skin.
I made it through winter, and I definitely think
makes a difference.
Yes,
I agree with you. But I always am am I? I don't ever want to be falling for something.
Right.
But that's why I've been so heartened, because Ritual provides scientific evidence
we love
so much that this is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines, increase skin smoothness in 90 days, and I can't argue with science.
No.
But I love the multivitamin. I love the protein powder. All of their products are they're rigorously tested, validated, third party, all that jazz that makes them the real deal. Don't waste your money on all that garbage. You know, the ones at the grocery store that are pretending to be legit, and they're just, it's placebo. Okay. I'm just saying. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month. Wow, that's a good deal. For a limited time at ritual.com/braincandy. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/braincandy for 25% off. That's a really nice deal.
Gotta go from the inside out.
Well, that's for sure.
You know?
Yes, we need all the help we can get around here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad we're on the same page about Bluey, but
yeah. But it is really cute.
Yeah. People rely on these shows. Maybe we should rely less on them. Okay.
Yeah. You know? Like, have a conversation with your kids. Because if you're going to also, here's another follow, another point I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have a problem with Bluey and that show, like, letting kids down or let whatever, then you also have to be critical of all the other things in your, if you're going to be like that, then like, okay, like what's happening in The Little Mermaid? What's happening in all those Disney movies? What's happening, you know? It really seems like what the parents are trying to do is avoid having a conversation with the kid and put this on a television show to have hard discussions. Yeah, the end.
Yeah. I guess expectations were real high.
Yeah. Too high.
Okay, this was sent to me from a brainiac. Okay, just the headline is a hoot, but I have to go into detail because that was my favorite part. There is a cruise line that is setting sail on a first of its kind nude cruise.
Oh, God. Oh, the handrails. Ah! I already fucking... Oh my God. I hate it already. The handrails on any cruise ship, the idea of the, and I know they clean them all the time. So I know they probably are cleaner than like other handrails that don't get that much attention because they know how much people, but the idea of the elevator buttons and the handrails, everything on a cruise ship, like creep me out because people subconsciously touch their face, touch their nose, do things all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And you'd be like, I don't do that. Yes, you fucking do.
Oh, I do it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And everybody's doing that and there are boogers on everything and everything's disgusting. And then people are going to like scratch their butt or scratch their balls and then they're going to touch those handrails. And the idea of that
is as if cruises weren't germy enough
to me.
Right.
I am sorry. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. What's your feeling?
Well, I always say that I think cruises are just toilets at sea.
Well, they are.
And people, cruisers do not like when I say this, but that's just how I feel because of, you know, there is, you're in a confined space with humans. Humans are disgusting. Okay.
Like, so gross. Ask anybody who works in the medical field.
Ugh.
Anybody. Your favorite nurse, your favorite doctor. Be like, so, are humans like... gross or what? And they'll be like, the most disgusting. Ask a firefighter, ask a paramedic. Just wait.
Humans are foul. Okay. So.
We're just constantly shedding. Tell me I'm wrong.
That's so gross and true. Okay. Here are some of the, I just want to share some of the details for your enjoyment. Okay. Here we go. There is a self-serve buffet.
And everything sounds grosser. And mind you, I want people to know, I'm not even picturing in my mind cruise people naked. I'm picturing the hottest. I'm picturing tens in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm not even on this cruise. People hotter than me. And I'm still grossed out. So it's not as any... It is the
you're
nudity.
You're not judging cruisers.
No. No, I am judging
humans.
That Venn diagram sliver of cruisers and nudists.
Yeah, because it's not just cruisers. You're right. This is like also
an overlap. And there might be a third overlap that we like third circle that we have yet to identify, but may present itself by the end of this conversation.
Okay, so there is a self-serve buffet. And that is in a clothes-free area. So you're really asking for
it. I mean, who would want to be restricted by clothing while trying to eat as much food as you can?
But clothes are required inside the dining rooms, okay? So don't get crazy.
They're not animals.
Now, the cruise urges guests to sit on a towel when bare-bottomed. Or in a thong.
Oh, that means people aren't doing it and then they're farting. Oh, so many poop particles. Do you know when you smell a fart? What you're smelling are actual particles of like poo. Like the things in poo, like they're things that are in there that make it smell. They're floating around in the air. You can like measure that stuff and capture it. Like, I know this is everywhere. I know. I understand. I use public restrooms. I have no problem. I can get over it. But yeah, I would freak out on that.
Like, think about it. People think I'm disgusting because I wear shoes in my house. We're talking about a nude cruisier. Okay? Okay, so they're like, go ahead and use the towel.
Please, but
if your bare butthole is on anything.
Oh, and then like sweaty, you know, the sweat.
For real, this is a direct quote. I feel like I need to read the real thing. The cruise urges guests to sit on a towel when bare-bottomed or in a thong in your stateroom, on the pool deck, in the buffet area, or on excursions. The travel company also said that taking photos and videos of anybody without their consent is prohibited, and no photo zones are located throughout the cruise ship. So there's like special areas where like no matter what, you cannot take a photo.
Taking pics.
It's like where people are doing yoga or something. I don't know. Oh my God. Without any clothes on. They're just beeholes agape.
Yeah. Oh God, I hate that word. Oh God. That is not, I will not be sailing the seven seas aboard
sailing. Take me away. Okay, fondling.
I would imagine this isn't a large cruise.
I know, I do. The ship looked big in the picture, but maybe that was a stock photo. It says, fondling and inappropriate touching are prohibited, and so is being naked at port. Okay, so don't be disgusting. Right. The cruise also said lingerie and fetish wear prohibited.
They're okay. I see what they're trying to do with these rules. I'm gonna play. I don't know, angel's advocate.
Who are we advocating?
I know. I see what they're trying to do is desexualize this.
Well, that is a real uphill battle.
And they're trying to say, I can imagine the argument of the nudists to say, we want to engage in the activities that everybody likes to do, but we feel like we are constrained by clothing and we want to be able to be in our most natural, like, blah, blah, blah. I can hear the whole argument for it.
Yeah.
And I think diehard nudists, especially the diehard nudists who are like signing up to be on a cruise with a bunch of other nudists, and like they seem like the type who has like a position
more
on
of
something,
a wild
like,
streak.
Yeah. Pun intended.
All right.
And I could see them being like, guys, this isn't about sex.
Guys,
this is about
get serious.
Right. This is about the ability to be in
unencumbered
our,
by yes, fabric.
Yes. And so they're trying to desexualize this in every way they can.
Yeah, well,
but come
I got
on.
Bad news for them about who's going on this cruise.
But I don't know. If they're postmenopausal women.
They're not.
They're good.
Postmenopausal women are like, give me a shawl.
I don't know. I think that the average age on there is going to be 60, no, 50,
men.
62. I don't. I bet it's 50-50.
Men and women.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Okay. This is where we disagree.
Well, this
we
is just my
guess,
though.
Agree on it being disgusting, but I think that there are a number of women who have that feeling.
Not straight women. Society has brainwashed us anyway. Like, we've all been indoctrinated to believe that, like, it's like shame and all
that. I think that it's in the same way that the kink community is the best at consent and talking about sex
and
all that. I think that the nudist community
I understand.
Probably the best at not shaming about bodies and accepting all bodies. So I think women who feel like they want to feel accepted in their own skin would hang out in a nudist colony.
Okay, yeah. I get what you're saying. And I agree to a certain extent about the nudist community. Yeah. But this cruise is attracting two different groups. The nudist community.
Yeah.
And freaks. Sex freaks.
But that's what it sounds like from the rules. They're trying to get rid of the sex freaks.
But they're not gonna.
They're okay.
Because I think the cruise community has more of the libido. Those people love getting down and dirty.
Party at port.
They're twerking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just love a good time. They love doing shots and stuff.
I watched one episode of...
This is all made up.
Well, I know, and it's great. We're writing fan fiction. That's what we do. What's his name? Louis Theroux. He went into a nudist colony, and I'll never forget the nudist volleyball game. And so now I have this association with nudists. I'm like, I was just about to say, well, all they want to do is play volleyball. And I was like, that just happened to be one activity
bumps
they
and
had.
Spike, I know.
I really don't even know, but those two are paired in my head because of my limited experience with nudists. And
you know what? I'm really glad you said that they're paired because I'm paired, and that's because I wear pair eyewear.
I think it might be time for me to get on if I already have the orthotic shoes, I think my eye, I'm getting there.
You want the old lady eyewear?
I'm having some focus problems, you know? Like, it feels like my eyes don't know what to do. So I think it's time.
You need some readers. I know. Well, at least, okay, thanks to Pair Eyewear, at least they'll be adorable and super affordable and cute as heck because you can get the basic frames if you want and then get whimsical toppers, the magnetic tops that you can mix and match different colors, patterns, whatever. They have every different, they have so many collections.
And more than that, I want the ones that can be a prescription and blue light blockers. And then,
oh, yes.
But I don't want to wear that all the time. So then I just want to keep them in the same case and then boop, pop out and just swap out.
That's a great idea. Right, yeah, you can get
blue light blockers.
Mm-hmm. You can get sunglasses to top anything you want. And they're just, I just can't believe they're so affordable and adorable, and you will love them. The sun tops, great for summer, great for long days on the go, and really cute. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code CANDY. That's a new code. So use code CANDY for 15% off your first pair and support the show by mentioning Brain Candy sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's paireyewear.com. Use code CANDY. We love those.
Yeah.
I have so many. I just put them everywhere because that's like I'm an old lady.
Yeah.
I need them.
Yeah.
I have them everywhere. Okay.
Smart.
Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, yeah. When the ship is at sea or anchored in a port, passengers can be nude unless announcements have been made to the contrary. But my favorite part of the whole article is that it says that the costume party details will be announced later. Why are you having a costume party? You don't even wear regular clothes.
Right. That is it.
What's the costume?
And
like the invisible?
Like still deciding the theme? What's?
Yeah. And why isn't it prepared?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think they should be allowed to have costume parties in the nudist community.
I mean, just go masquerade party.
Maybe they do just shoes.
Just shoes. Like, I was thinking just mask.
You just change up your, like a mask and shoes only.
Yeah.
But no clothes.
No shirt, no shoes, no pants, no problem.
No problem. Okay, anyway, thank you to the Brain Candy Brainiac.
That was very funny. That was a fun little 10 minutes we just had there.
Here's a brief interlude to talk about how I feel like a real dum-dum because recently there was a Bob Marley movie.
Yes.
That came out. I think it was called One Love.
Yes.
Well, you know me. I'm not interested in scripted dramas. I want documentary. So I thought, of course there has to be a Bob Marley documentary if there's a film. Right. So there is, and it's called Marley, and it's from a few years ago, but I had never seen it. So I watched the Bob Marley documentary. And why didn't anyone tell me his dad is white? Bob.
I didn't
Jamaica
know.
Man Marley's.
I did not know.
And not just white, but like,
Wait.
He's a German immigrant who was banging Jamaican women.
Whoa!
Sarah.
That's surprising that isn't known.
How are people not talking about this, man?
Not like it does anything to change the music or to change the
No, it just that, makes the story more interesting to
me. Yes, but that feels like an interesting story, an interesting background.
I do feel like it's such an important part of one story, especially if you are an islander and somebody so attached to Rastafarian.
Oh, but ew, he was 60 and she was 16.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Real.
Okay, now I get why they did.
Real sleazeball. But I don't think that's why, because I don't think that wasn't even mentioned in the film.
Really?
The age difference.
Jesus, that was mentioned in that, the BBC.
It was more focused on like
article.
That this is a guy who was sort of like doing this. He has other kids on the island and he like was not around, you know, kind of like, you know, a jerk.
A rapist.
Well.
The dad? Yeah. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Just making sure I got caught up and I wanted to make sure I wasn't calling Bob Marley or anybody else.
No. But I never knew that. And this is like 10 seconds into the documentary. I'm like, excuse me?
Wow.
The sort of like symbol of a musical genre and Jamaican music and all that. And also like political activism on behalf of Black people and whatever. I just was blown away. So I was like totally into it from the moment go. And then I guess I didn't realize he was a complicated man. Like he has a minimum of 11 children with 7 women, but I'm pretty sure we can all agree there were probably more than that.
Yeah.
And
think about the models that he got for love and relationships. And
but there's also the element of like, I hate to say this because he seems so charming and everything, but it does feel a little bit like a cult leader where, you know, they're like, what? Like, almost like you want to be with him to like be a part of this movement.
Yeah. Well, and I think what it is there's elements of narcissism in there. And that anybody, and that's, you could say that about people who are wonderful and do fantastic and amazing things. Like, people are not just one thing.
Yes, but also that the women all were fine with it.
Yeah.
That's more of a cult
right.
mentality where you're just like, you feel like you're a part of a bigger purpose and it's fine. That's not something most women are like, oh, yeah, fine, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Then I also didn't know that I knew he died from cancer, but I didn't know that it was melanoma, which is so unusual in a Black person.
I didn't know that either.
And it's the kind that you get from like the sun. It was under his toenail.
Ah, holy shit. You mean I got to look there? I understand what my dermatologist said to take off my toenail polish.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
Yeah, she
said
that. Check
under there.
She was like, do you have any brown spots on your toenail? And I had no idea what that meant. And now I know.
He had that kind. And they told him he needed to amputate his toe. And he didn't want to because he liked playing soccer and dancing.
Oh,
Bob.
No.
Oh, yeah. So Bob had bad discernment, I think we can take away from that.
Yeah.
And what a bummer, because they could have saved him if he had gone. He just got a graft.
Damn.
And said, yeah.
Well, I feel like that in a way is elements of narcissism as well.
Well, he really did feel like the Rasta energy too. Yeah. There was a lot of faith elements to it.
Yeah.
I mean, totally fascinating guy, totally charming, extraordinary musician. All these great things we already know. It's just that this other stuff that makes it more complex and interesting. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yeah, so I didn't either.
Fascinating.
And for somebody who's on so many bumper stickers and t-shirts and, you know, a symbol of, you know, it's a lot like
good stuff.
Yeah. It's interesting that in things that I would say I'm aware of, or like I have somewhere in my experience run into, and I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah. And I also thought, this is just like, I don't know, Sue's, but there's this famous clip, I'm sure you've seen it, where he's being interviewed and they're like, are you a rich man? Mm-hmm. And he's like, what is money? Like, what, you know, like
that was that. A hilarious Jamaican accent. The funny thing is, like, the only accent I can do, like, every time I try to do an accent, it goes to either like Estonian, Russian, right. or something like that,
or Jamaican.
And the yeah. one Susie can't do, apparently.
Yeah. He was just like, what is money, man? Like, yeah. whatever. He was sort of like, who needs that? Yeah. Like, you know, we have love or whatever. Well, I'll tell you what money is, Bob, is that when you were diagnosed, you could take your private jet over to Germany and get all these like special treatments. So he had like 3 weeks to live uh-huh. and he lived 6 months because Whoa, he got okay. to fly to like the best possible doc. Hey, Bob, that's what money is.
Yeah.
Money might not be important uh-huh. about your BMW, which he also had.
Right.
But it is important if you're dying.
Right.
And can help you get better care.
Yeah.
So like I get his point.
Right.
But can we not acknowledge the privilege right. that right. comes with extraordinary wealth?
Yes. Yeah.
So
interesting. That's all. I'm gonna have to check that out. Yeah, I heard that it was hit or miss with the that like not a lot of people were crazy for the other movie.
Oh, why? Yeah.
I don't know.
It wasn't the true story or something?
I'm not, I have no idea.
I always feel like that with biopics. Like,
yeah.
The truth is better
yeah.
than the retelling.
It really is.
Okay.
I'll think of a biopic that I think is equal to like the real mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
You have guys to have any really ideas, right. send them our way.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay. How about this? Did you read about the metal object that flew into like a Florida home?
Yes. From the ISS?
Yes.
Once again, another reason why that's nightmare fuel for me.
Yeah.
So now I don't have to just have a fear of the ISS while I'm up there. Now I get a brand new nightmare about them as I'm just walking around being a regular old person.
Yeah, because it's like the opposite of a sinkhole. It's like something hitting your house
yes.
from the air.
Right.
So these are the details.
Oh, my God.
Okay. There
it's
was
like those memes that say the likelihood of – or the chance of getting killed by the International Space Station is close to zero, but definitely not zero.
Yeah, not zero.
Okay, that's scary. The end.
A metal object hurtled towards Florida, went into a home, almost hit a person that was in the home, and it was jettisoned from the International Space Station when they were, like, replacing their lithium batteries. And they, like, dumped 5,800 pounds of space junk.
That's a lot of fucking garbage.
And they were like, what? It was supposed to
okay.
all burn up in the re-entering the yeah. Earth's atmosphere. It's all supposed to burn up, but something didn't. And I would guess there's more than just that one.
I would, too. We have a dump zone. We have a place in our ocean where we dump everything.
From the space?
Yes. We have a space junkyard in our ocean.
No.
I'll tell you where it is. It's, let me see. I'll look this
space
up.
Space junkyard, people.
Yard.
We need to tell them to stop it.
No fucking joke. Oh, Point Nemo, also known as the Pole of Inaccessibility. It's south of Easter Island and north of Antarctica. It surrounds the point as far as the eye can see and plunges to the depths of over 4,000 meters. And that is the satellite graveyard where the ISS aims all their
drones. They missed.
Yeah, no shit.
That isn't even close to Easter Island.
That isn't even close.
And it didn't burn up in the atmosphere. And I, you know how, like, we've been shitting on NASA recently, which, you know.
We're not shitting on them. We are
holding them accountable.
Yes, calling a spade a spade.
Well, because they're just like, it was supposed to burn up. I feel like you need to do some new calculations.
This is the space graveyard where the International Space Station will be buried. We've been doing this for years.
You tell me that space station's going to hurtle towards the...
Oh, I think they're ready to... This was written in 2022, and they're...
They're just going to send that whole thing to Earth?
ISS is going to be retired in 2030, and it said when it ends its days here, plummeting to Earth to join other decommissioned space station satellites and space debris in the world's space graveyard.
This is going to sound really stupid, but, like, how does the space station stay where it is? Where is it?
It's in orbit.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just, okay.
Yeah. So okay. They, like, once something gets caught in our, so it's kind of like if you think of like a whirlpool, if you were to, like, throw a little rock, it would just kind of keep going in there.
So
like
when
they
changed the batteries, they didn't put it in the orbit. They tossed it back.
Yeah. Because if something stays in orbit with it, then you have the likelihood of it coming back and hitting you.
Yeah, that's not good either.
No, so I get that they got to get rid of them, but...
But I'm saying, how do they not know if it's going to burn up in the atmosphere? Seems like that's a pretty big...
I would imagine that they're something about... I mean, obviously, like, the calculations for the speed in which they released it, like, it wasn't fast enough or it wasn't high enough or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the
check
the
math. Your math, NASA. Yeah.
No shit.
I'm just saying.
And I'm surprised that there aren't more accidents it seems so insane that we are going up to, I can't, when I think about it, I freak out. I can't even, I can't.
I feel like
I
that on a normal flight.
I can't. Correct. I mean,
I'm like, this seems like made up.
Everything
what we're doing right here.
Totally. And so it's just too much for my brain.
Okay. Well, sorry to that Florida man who almost got hit by a metal object.
Yeah. But it's like that movie Donnie Darko, like in real life.
What was that movie?
I don't know. I saw it and I was always like, this is way overrated and I don't get what the big deal is. But it's like a movie that was popular in like the early aughts, and it was with Jake Gyllenhaal, and
seems related.
He sees like a giant bunny rabbit that's like a figure of his imagination. It has something to do with like something comes hurling down from the sky, and then like you're like, is he dead? Is he not dead? It's a whole thing. It's like supposed to be like philosophical, and
okay.
Clearly, I didn't. It was lost on me. The whole.
Okay. Well, speaking of films, I watched a documentary on Netflix about Hans Zimmer, who's the
musician.
Yeah, composer of, like, you know, movie soundtracks and whatever. And I swear that I'm not doing this on purpose, but it does feel like everything comes back to Interstellar.
Okay. Well, didn't he do the score for that? Is that it?
He did the score for it. And that was like the bulk of the film was about like him creating
Susie,
the soundtrack.
I know you saw because I tagged your ass in it 1,000 times. That they are re-releasing Interstellar. I mean, Interstellar, coming to a theater near you.
Coming to a theater.
It's like the whole world. That's how I know we're in a simulation.
Yeah. They're listening. They're like,
come on.
Suze.
Remember when we caught the Golden State Killer?
Yeah.
This is that. again.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And like all the brainiacs
anybody who's
are like...
been in our book club for a long time is laughing hysterically right now because they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Our book club basically is responsible for the arrest and conviction of the Golden State Killer.
Oh, God.
Which you should join our book club on our website.
Because it's like this. It's the best. All the time. It's mm-hmm. so good. And we watch documentaries. We talk about books. It's great. And you can read none or watch none or watch all of them.
And the Hans all the above. Zimmer doc is... you know, describing this guy's like style and how he writes the score and the composes the songs for the movies. And he's, I guess German or one of those like Austrian or German or whatever. And he's a total dweeb. And like, okay. So now that he's been so successful, he has become sort of a celebrity in his own right, which does not happen for
dweebs.
Dweebs and film composers. And so now he goes on tour.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes, I know. I was going to go to the Interstellar, like when they do the score of the Interstellar at like the LA Philharmonic or whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
At Hollywood Bowl. I was going to go to that.
He's so into it. And he's like, thinks he's Mick Jagger now. Okay.
Oh,
and he's not. If you have a look at him, you will see he is not Mick Jagger. And here's what annoyed me. Okay. He is one of these men. Right. You see what I mean. He is one of these men who... it has had incredible success, probably due to like more of like a snowball effect.
Dweeb is the exact right term for this.
Total dweeb.
There is something about how he is holding his hands in the pictures I'm looking at where I'm like, yeah, you're a dweeb.
Yes.
I love him. You're adorable.
Yeah.
But
very talented.
You're
fine.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But like,
this is very funny
to me. I think so much of success is luck. And in his case, I think like a snowball effect where he had like one really lucky situation and then he became seen as like the go-to guy. Yeah. And then it
He's
just snowballs.
Talented. He could play a bunch of instruments.
He can't read music.
What? What?
Yeah. Like, wait. I was like,
wait
annoyed.
Wait a minute. You're an award-winning composer, and
yeah,
you can't
read music. All like the feels. It's all like just the vibes or whatever.
How do you feel about that? I also can't read music, so I don't know what.
Yeah, that's fine. You're not in that field. This is a guy who is like.
What do composers think of him?
I don't know. It was just a bunch of people like saying he's a genius. Okay. And it drives me bonkers. And then, like, you have his kids on there being like, yeah, he wasn't really around much, but I could see it in his eyes. He, like, loved us. It's that kind of thing.
Oh, no.
Or, like, you make excuses because he's, like, so successful and everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Interstellar part was so funny because it was, like, Christopher Nolan wouldn't even show him the film. He just was telling him, like, here's the general, like, vibe, and then made him compose the whole film without seeing it or even knowing what it was about. And so then you get this more like just emotion based rather than like space based or whatever. I don't even know what it's about.
No, it's like
I'm just guessing.
It's great. I think that Interstellar takes place on the International Space Station.
Well, because then they were trying to tell me it's a story about a father and a daughter. And
it
I was like,
is.
Well, there's a daughter?
It is. It is a story about love.
Okay, well, I'll never know. But it just got to be the point where I was just like, I cannot escape this movie.
Right.
Is everyone hearing this or is it because I am avoiding it?
I had more people reach out to me when that was announced.
I know.
I mean,
were very
hundreds
I know.
Of messages
I know.
Saying, Yeah. Have you seen this? Did Susie see this? Did you? You have to. This is meant to be. Oh my gosh. Like, yeah. I had less when I got married, when I graduated, when anything else I've announced.
Right. And then I have people being like, I get the joke, like that you're not seeing it, but like maybe you should see it.
Right.
Like, if let you, it go.
If you see Interstellar without me, dead. You're dead.
I have not seen it, and I will not.
Oh my, I actually just got like a wave.
Because you're like, what if she's seen it?
Yes, because I was like, oh God, what if she has? And like,
I haven't.
You're just keeping up this whole bit, and just I just want to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want any regrets, Susie.
Yeah, no. I
want to be. Oh God. And I listen.
Someone said they were bawling through the whole thing.
Yes.
Oh my God.
When I was done with this movie, I sat on the edge of the couch and I was like, "Well, what am I supposed to do with my life now?" And like, you just need some moments to like gather yourself. And
this will be the third time you've seen me cry.
What movie do I watch after Interstellar? And I am not the only one. It came up instantly of like auto, you know, fill in. And all right. I just want, what this really is selfish, obviously. And I just want to be there in that moment where you go,
you were right. I did love it. Just like you knew I would.
Yep. Yep. That's it.
I think I would.
I'm not even overhyping it.
Based on what I've heard, it sounds amazing.
Right.
So maybe like we said, the 1000 episode, I do feel like a viewing for all the Brainiacs and me and you.
Yeah. So it's going to be a long day.
All right, everybody, let's wind it down.
Yeah. Sarah's what a good getting episode. Her groove. You had me laughing.
Sarah's getting her groove back and also curing her plantar fasciitis, God willing.
Oh my God.
With some orthotics. The Jinx is back.
Yes. Look at that guy's eyes.
What if he confessed to more stuff in this one?
I would believe that.
I don't know. Find
like,
out.
Yeah, I feel like everybody should check anybody who's ever been associated with him.
If you're interested in nudity and cruising,
boy, but not in a sexy way.
But yeah. Right, but not with any.
Don't get crazy.
Intentions. Okay, NASA, listen, you've done some good stuff over the years. You've gotten a little lazy.
Okay. I know we already talked about this and we're wrapping it up, but could this be this that thing like Boeing and all the airplanes where like we're paying people less, so now
God.
They're like cutting corners, and this is like the place where we really don't want to be fucking cutting corners?
Or I almost get the vibe of just like they're so optimistic. They're just like, that'll burn up. Like they just
don't
always think it's going to work out because of what? Apollo 13, like they got back. It's fine.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. In my mind, they were the ones who like pull the plug if their failure rate is anything over like 3% or something crazy. Like,
okay, well, I feel like 1%. That. I guess if you only have one incident from 5,800 pounds of junk, maybe they do think that's a success. I don't know.
Oh, ooh.
Okay, I guess that's it. Hans Zimmer, weirdo, dweeb / not great dad, but everyone's pretending like he's great.
Yeah.
You know the type.
I totally. When you look, guys, when you see the pictures, you'll be like, oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
There's something, or maybe it's just that I'm just vibing here. I'm just picking up.
They're just like, yeah, he wasn't writing around fan
fiction,
a lot.
But also maybe not fiction.
All right. Well, thanks to always for using our codes and supporting us because it makes such a difference. And we don't want to have to get real jobs.
No. That's,
that seems like a fantasy at this
keep
point.
Keep this going. I got to get to 1,000 episodes, man.
We have things to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so thanks for supporting us. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.